The scripture tonight is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 26 through 29. This is concerning atonement. And that's Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 26 through 29. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made of fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work on that same day, for it is a day of an atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people.
Before I get started, I want to say thank you to the elders for the invitation, the chance to speak tonight. Growing up as a young child, I used to like to listen to a radio show. Yeah, Paige, we did have TV. We had three channels, but that was it. Sometimes four. But I like to listen to a particular radio show. This radio show came on the local radio station, and it came on about 12:30 each day, Monday through Friday. And this show followed the local news and the national news. Well, this show was Paul Harvey's News and Comments. And in one of his shows, he told a story like this. A businessman was walking down the road to his next customer. As he was walking, he met a young boy coming up the road carrying an old, beaten-up birdcage containing two doves. The businessman said, Hello, young man. What do you have there? A birdcage, the boy replied. No, the businessman said, What do you have in the cage? Raising the cage up to show the businessman, the boy replied, Two doves I caught this morning. What are you going to do with them? Asked the man. Looking at the birds, the boy said, Play with them for a while. Then I guess I'll give them to the cats after that. Will you sell them to me? Asked the man. Sir, they're not worth much, and the cage, I found it by the road. The boy looked up. The man looking at the boy said, Will you take $2 for the birds in the cage? With surprise, the boy said, Yes. The man took the cage, bent down, opened the cage door, and released the doves. We've all heard different versions of this story, of the birds being released, the two doves. An old bird cage. What does every human being on this world need? We need atonement. Atonement is what we need. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus says, What does it profit the man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what will he give for his soul? So if we think about atonement of our souls, the atonement of our souls is worth more than all the riches this world holds. So what is the cost? What is the price of our atonement? I want to start with the first slide here. Atonement. It's a reconciliation. It's being made right in God's eye. Why? Like Frank led in the prayer, and like generally said in prayers, we're sinners. Andy, this morning in his sermon, he talked about the suffering of Christ. He talked about how that suffering was because of our sins, our mistakes. In 1 John 2 and 2, John writes, "And he himself, that being Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." You see, Jesus came to this world for a sole purpose of atoning for our sins. But how can we really understand what Jesus has done? How can we relate to what he's done? Well, let's look at the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, and let's see what happened on this day. And then after that, let's do a comparison between what happened on this Day of Atonement in Jesus' life. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the tabernacle or the temple, and he would remove his priestly clothes. Now, his clothing was elegant. On his breastplate were 12 jewels representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It was elaborate. But on this day, he goes into the temple. He removes his priestly clothes, and he puts on what was called holy garments. And back in Exodus, I think it's 23, these garments are discussed. And what is interesting, one of these garments that the high priest wore was sewn and woven from one piece of material. But he also bathed himself. He washed before he put on these clothing, to remove any impurities, filth from his body. Because where is he going? What is he going to do on this Day of Atonement? He's going to enter into the Most Holy, or the Holy of Holies, to offer sacrifice to our Lord. Before he goes in, he takes two male goats that the people of Israel have provided. One for a sin offering and one for an scapegoat. And he brings these out before the people of Israel there at the door of the tabernacle. One goat standing on one side, the other goat on the other. And the scripture says he casts lots for these goats to determine which is the scapegoat, which is the one for the sin offering. He's presented with a bag in front of him. And inside this bag are two coins or two tokens, one indicating the goat for the sin offering, one for the indicating the goat for the scapegoat. And the high priest reaches into this bag, pulls out these tokens, and in that manner identifies which goat is the sin offering and which one is the scapegoat. And then to signify which one is which, he ties a different color ribbon around the horns of that goat. Then the high priest brings out a sin offering for himself. You see, this high priest is just like you and me. He sinned. He did things wrong. And not just him, but everybody, the other priests, sinned. And so God commanded that a bull be offered for the high priest and his family. If you go back in Leviticus chapter 4, at the first part, you find about this sin offering for a high priest or a priest who sinned unintentionally. The priest would bring that bull for a sin offering out in front of the tabernacle, place his hand on the head of that bull, signifying the transfer of that sin from him to that bull. Then he would execute that bull. Then he would take some of that blood and he would go into the temple and he would approach the most holy, the holy of holies place. And there, separated from the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat by that veil, he would dip his finger in that blood and sprinkle that blood on the veil 7 times for the remission of his sins, for the forgiveness of sins, as a sacrifice for sin. Well, this day, the high priest is going to do something different. This day, he's going to walk inside that veil. When I think about that veil, to me, that veil represents my sins, the sins of the world, separating me from God, holding me away from that mercy seat. The veil in between. And it's interesting, if you read Leviticus 16, you find out Aaron did not just walk into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. No, he had to take coals from the altar of incense in front of the veil and 2 handfuls of sweet incense. Now, different people theorize how he entered. The way that I see it is Aaron bending down and pulling the veil open, and he placing that censer with those coals inside the most holy place, and then pouring those incense on top of those hot coals. And then that cloud of smoke comes up and covers the mercy seat. You see, in Leviticus, we see that he couldn't just walk in. That cloud had to be up there. That second veil had to be there to obscure the ark, to obscure the mercy seat. And then taking the blood of the bull that he had offered for his sins and the sins of the other priests, his family, he would come in, and there he would sprinkle the mercy seat and the ark 7 times with that blood for his sins. Then he exited the temple again. And there in front of the people, he takes that goat that was marked for the sin offering, and he executes it again. And he takes its blood and he again goes into the most holy place. And again, he's sprinkling the blood of that goat upon the altar and the mercy seat. And finally, he's going to bring out the scapegoat in front of the people. But before this, he goes and he takes the blood of that bull and the blood of that goat and he mixes them together. And then he goes to every article that's in the tabernacle and he puts some of that blood on each piece of article, purifying that tabernacle, that temple, for the sins of the people. And then he brings that scapegoat out in front of the people. And Moses writes that the high priest places his hands upon the head of that scapegoat. And then that scapegoat receives the sins of the nation of Israel that's been committed in this last year. And then after that, someone is appointed, and this person takes that scapegoat off to a distant country, to a distant wilderness, to be released, to be seen no more, signifying the removal of the sins of the people. Paul read to us the text saying on the 10th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar that it's the Day of Atonement. 6 p.m. September the 29th to 6 p.m. September the 30th in 2017 is the Day of Atonement per the Jewish calendar. That Day of Atonement continually goes on every year, every year, every year, signifying that something hasn't been different offered for the removal of sins. Why? Because in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, for the law, since it's only a shadow of good things to come, cannot the very form of things, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which are offered continually year after year make perfect those who draw near. You see, that bull was born without a blemish. Have you ever seen a bull go out and say, I'm deliberately going to go run over here and break my leg so I'm blemished so nobody can offer me for a sacrifice? No. That goat was born without a blemish. He couldn't choose to be born without a blemish. He couldn't choose to make himself blemished. Just like a child, when a child is born, that child is perfect without sin. But as a child grows up, what happens? That child can choose to sin. That child can decide to do something wrong. And then continue on in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. But in those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins year by year. They remembered those sins. A popular saying used to be the sins were rolled forward every year by those sacrifices. But we need atonement. We don't need just rolling our mistakes forward. We need something for salvation. But now we have a new high priest. How about get your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, he entered through a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ash of heifers sprinkled those who had been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, talking about what Moses did when the law was read and signifying the first cleansing of the people. How much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You see, Christ came to this world to be our new high priest. He brought a law that offers atonement. And Andy this morning talked about the fact about Christ's offering for our atonement. Let's talk about the change of clothing. It said the high priest removed his priestly clothing and put on the clothing of a servant. This clothing that he put on this day was just plain. No special jewelry, no special stitching. More likely, plain clothing that a servant would wear. What do you think he wore that clothing? Whose servant was the high priest? He was God's servant. And then even truly, he was a servant of the people. He was there to serve as their in-between between God and man. Andy read this verse for us this morning, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Think about this. Jesus on earth never wore kingly apparel, did he? In fact, some people believe, and I'm of this opinion, that that scarlet robe was an old discarded robe of officials, because Luke and a couple of and John recorded as purple. Matthew records as scarlet. But it probably was something pulled out of the garbage and placed upon him. But he took it. But it says he emptied himself. Do you realize that Jesus was clothed with something more glorious, more wonderful than what we can imagine? He emptied himself. I went too far. He emptied himself and became man. Jesus didn't take off kingly apparel. He took off a heavenly body. And he came to this earth to become a bondservant, to become a man, just like you and me. I've told David this before, and I believe it with all the bottom of my heart. If I could take a drop of the blood of Jesus and a drop of my blood and put it underneath a microscope, they would look the same. Why? Because he was a man just like I am. What made his blood so precious is the fat life that he lived. But he came here and he emptied himself. What about the offerings for the high priest made? You know, he offered the temple. He went into the most holy place twice to offer blood. Once for his sins, the blood of bulls, and another time, the blood of the goats. What about the veil, the sin of mankind? Isaiah 59 and 2, but your sins have separated God, you from God. His eyes are not short that he cannot relieve. But our sins separate us from God. How about the warning that was given? You know, Moses, if you went to Leviticus 16 and you read verse 1, it says, tell Aaron after his sons had been killed for approaching God with the foreign fire, profane fire. And when the fire from heaven came and destroyed, killed them. He said, don't just run into the most holy place. Why? Fear of death. And this is important when you think about this fear of death, of entering this most holy place only on one day. But if you read in Hebrews, you find out that there's no veil in heaven. Jesus entered into a most holy place with his blood. The blood of a man who chose to live the perfect life. The blood of our God, the Son, who came to this earth, born of a woman, lived a life as a carpenter, then at the age of 30 became a preacher. When asked where he is staying, he says, "The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head." A man who come to his hometown and they make fun of him. But he took his blood and he enters that most holy place in a tabernacle that is not made with hands in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 and 20, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, his flesh." You understand what he's telling us here? He's telling us we can approach that most holy place where Aaron could only go once a year, and with the blood of bulls and goats, we can, in humbly, with confidence, let me clarify that, not with arrogance, but with a humble confidence, we can enter that most holy place. Now, why? Because if we're a child of God, we've been born into Christ, and so we can enter that place through Christ. We can go straight to God with our prayers, with our requests, with our heartache. And it's all because of that blood of Jesus that was offered for us. The scapegoat is chosen by casting of lots. But, and the sin, once again, I'm talking about the sins removed yearly. But I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And we talked about the high priest taking his hands and he's laying his hands upon this scapegoat to take away the sins. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 reads, "He," that is God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now look back at verse 20, the last part. "As we beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So now I want to read verse 21 again. "And he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become reconciled to God in him." You see, Jesus came here so we could be reconciled. There is no need for a yearly sacrifice. He was pure. He was holy. He was clean. Jesus chose to bear our sins. Did that scapegoat have any choice in bearing the sins? Did that bull have any choice in dying for the sins of the high priest? No. But Jesus chose to bear our sins. It says he himself bore our sins on his body. He chose it. He wanted to do it because he loved us. And then in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. I want you to think for me a second about those pictures this morning that Andy put up on the screen. That beaten body he showed that was scourged. That body that was torn by that scourging. That body hanging on that cross, that bloody body. That crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. That scarlet robe that's placed on his back. That scarlet robe and that crown of thorns and that beating was my beating. My robe. My crown of thorns that he took upon himself. That he chose to bear. So that my sins could be washed away, be made white as snow. For by one offering he has perfected. When I become a child of God, he has perfected me. No, I'm not totally perfect. I'm still going to make mistakes. That's why 1 John chapter 1 talks about us continually confessing our sins, about the blood of Christ continually cleansing us. That one sacrifice for all. What about the washings that he took, the high priest? I mentioned one, but actually he washed twice. He washed before he started doing his offerings. And after he prayed over the scapegoat and sent it away, he went back into the tabernacle, took off the holy garments, bathed his body again, put on his high priestly apparel, and stepped out to oversee the two rams that had been being offered that day as burnt sacrifices for the sins of the people. He washed before, the high priest washed before he put on the garments. But Jesus says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Ananias said to Paul, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And then John again writes, in baptism, sin are washed away by the blood of Christ. Now, if you've got a New King James or a King James Version and some of the other versions, in verse 5 of Revelation 1, you find the word washing. But I actually like how this is read in the New American Standard, updated. Let me read it for you. And from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him, that is Jesus again, who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. Released us from our sins. Removed them. I like one of David's favorite passages when we talk about God removing sin. He says, as far as the east is from the west, quoting the psalmist. Jesus releases us from our sins as if they never have occurred. What about the offerings? We talked about the bulls and the goats, but what about the offerings? The people provided the goats. The people of Israel provided the goats. The high priest provided the bull. just like in all the sacrifices, they were provided by mankind. The one who sinned was providing those sacrifices. But on a hill outside of Jerusalem, the one who was sinned against provided the sacrifice for sin. You see, on that Calvary hill, once again, the picture of Christ hanging upon that cross of Calvary. We sin against, when we sin, it's against Christ. Christ, God the Father, provided that sacrifice for our sins. See, Jesus came to this world, was born of a woman, lived a life, but he decided to live that perfect life. I enjoyed this morning when Andy read the text from Matthew where it talks about Jesus went and prayed three times that this cup pass from me. But I love those last few words of that prayer. Not my will, but your will. You see, Jesus came here with a purpose to choose to live the perfect life, to die on that cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Now the rest of the story. Before the creation, God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were discussing the creation. God said, you know that man is going to sin, and there will be no way for him to atone for his sins. The price of man's sin will be the blood of a perfect man. There's no way man can live a perfect life. Someone would have to go to earth and be willing to pay the price of atonement. They would have to be born of a woman, live a hard life working with their hands, be betrayed by a close friend, beaten and nailed to the cross. Before another word could be said, Jesus said, I'll do it. Jesus was willing to leave heaven, come to earth, be praised one moment, cursed the next, be beaten, have a crown of thorns placed on his head, and crucified on a cross for the sins of mankind. The birdcage. That businessman knelt down, opened a door, and let those doves fly away. Jesus came to this earth, lived that perfect life by his choice, was beaten, was cursed, was spat upon, nailed to a cross because he loved you and me. Why? So that he could release us from the cage of sin, so that we once again could be made perfect in God's eyes. How about you now? Are you living that perfect life? Are you living for Jesus? Are you doing what he commands us to do? If you have a need, a prayer, or if you need to put on Christ in baptism, won't you please come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement?